Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! 1-on-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yo, y'all boys, man. Keep fans on 2. 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Throughout the day, you guys were on three different pages, receivers, line, you everybody in the backfield. Yeah. Is that how it felt for yourself?
Yeah, I would say just the execution aspect of it for us, speaking offensively. I think that was a big deal with us within the first half, and then kind of trickled its head in the second half as well. And then that's when the turnovers for me started to show up as well. You can't do that, and you can't expect to win games that way too.
And as for the end of the game where you were pulled, was that a decision that you might kind of agreed on? Was that all his decision and kind of what was the feeling there?
Yeah, that was just Headball's decision. He made that decision, so.
All right, that was Tua Tagovailoa after a rough game. 12 for 23, 100 yards, 3 picks, 1 pick 6, almost 2. And not a lot of zip on the football, to say the least. Whatever the conditions were down on the field. And the Browns, 206 yards, 31 points. That's hard to do, by the way. If you don't see a game and somebody says, hey, the Browns had 200 yards of offense, you're going, oh, man, what'd they score? They must have scored way under 7. What'd they kick, 2 field goals? And you go, no, they had 31 points. Actually, the defense beat the Browns' defense, outscored the Dolphins' offense. That's hard to do, too.
Yeah, it's true.
It's it was just bad. Bad,
like 7-6?
Bad, yeah, 7-6.
Didn't they have one of the picks got stopped right in front of
right
the
right in front. Yeah, yeah, it was really 14-6.
So it could have been.
He set him up on a real short field. The guy made a move, and he tripped going in, so he didn't quite get it. Hey, man, we are rock bottom. There is no way around it. This is not overreaction. This is just a fact of what you see every week.
Do you realize you just said out loud that the Browns' defense outscored the Dolphins' offense? Do you realize you just said that? It's true?
I did. It was it was bad.
Imagine thinking that like 2 or 3 years ago and this thing scoring 70 points.
Hey, we really only had 3 points because he missed one, but there was a penalty,
oh,
so he got
right.
A closer kick.
Yeah.
Hell, we almost got only 3.
Yep.
It was bad either way. And by the way, they were celebrating in Cleveland like, man, we went to 5-2 on the season. It was. But I don't know. I mean, it's a team without confidence. There's no question about it. look at the more you lose, and you can talk about character guys and they're not quitting. And I get it. The guys are, they're going to run their routes hard and they're going to run the football, try to make tackles, and they're going to do all those things. But boy, your body can be doing one thing, but your brain can definitely be doing another. And now you got to be real careful with the guys that have decided they want to be the leaders. The guys that are the leaders on that team, they better be playing well. And right now, there ain't a whole lot of guys playing well on that team, unless you're going to let Achan just get up there by himself and talk.
You realize the Browns used to be the gold standard for dysfunction?
I know. Oh, they're still up there. It's just this thing's bad.
You went up there and I wanted to say
look it, man, we can get mad about, you know, saying things about certain people in the organization, but we're bad. And when people say we're dysfunctional, man, it looks dysfunctional. It just does. It looks dysfunctional going back to Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey. And I know why. One was money. The other was he's a bad guy. But it's just the timing. We give contracts out to guys. They're not around. It just doesn't look the way the good organization should look. It just doesn't. And I'm not one sitting here saying get rid of everybody. And I know if you do get rid of the top people, there's a good chance a lot of people underneath are going to have to lose jobs. And there's a lot of good coaches on this staff. There's a lot of good people. But this is so frustrating that we tried this thing a few years ago. Seemed like just yesterday we lost to Kansas City Chiefs, and man, we were jacked up. We came back home and we had 11 wins and we lost to them, but it was like, damn, let's give extensions. Let's do this. Let's do that. And now just a couple of cups of coffee and we've turned into one of the two or three worst teams in football. Clearly, by the way, it's not, we're it. That loss yesterday was a new low. Considering who you're playing, that's a new low. That's a new low.
Funny thing, too, about this worst team in football thing is at least, like, the Jets expected to be terrible, right?
They didn't.
Like, the Browns expected to be terrible.
Yes, they did.
I don't think the Jets thought much of their roster, Joe, coming off what they were coming off of. But the Dolphins, like, I think they expected to be good. I know they started hitting that reset thing a little late in the process here, but, like, they thought they were going to be okay.
Right now, man, you're going, where's the second win coming? Where's it? And Mike, you know, it was cool when Mike was doing this act we've never seen as a head coach. It was cool when he was Miami Mike, and the dude's different. He's made for Miami. He's so different and so unique, and he's so smart. Dude's out thinking everybody. He's finding ways to get his guys down the field. We are running a track meet, and nobody's having more fun than our offense right now. We just put 70 on Denver. And it was so fun. Everybody's going, they can't stop us. This is awesome, man. Look where we are right now. We can't. We're having trouble trying to figure out how to get a first down. And we've added more people that got coordinators. Look at all the names that got coordinators on the back of their title. What the hell is that for, the coordinator? This guy's a coordinator. That guy's got some coordinator. Oh, this guy got a little touch of coordinator in his title. Just how about finding some ways to get this offense together? Or is the offensive line, I mean, nobody's ever going to badmouth anybody. Coaches don't do that. Coaches aren't going to, they're not going to badmouth people. They're not. We saw Mario today. He's not going to badmouth. We lose as a team, and I ask him another question. We lose as a team. I get it.
Well, their situation's a lot different, right? Like, they need to bounce back on Saturday.
They're you're right, Woody. That's great. You're right. They're in completely different situations. But this thing,
there's a lot of text coming in this morning, by the way. And someone asked, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but do you think Tua's regressions because of the concussions?
Oh,
I think there's concern about him getting hit. I do.
He's playing like there is.
Yeah.
He did another one, rolled out and going for 7 or 8 yards. Looked like
he slid down. Yeah. He probably could have got, yeah.
He just divides it in half, whatever. If you need 8, he'll get you 4 and slide. But he's been told Now he's getting what he can. He's, you know, trying to stay healthy, but the guy in the pocket, and I don't see how much. And at times he did have a clean pocket yesterday. I don't want you to think he's running around for every play, but it was bad. And to see him, look at, here we are. We're damn near halfway through this season. Not there yet, but we're getting close. He's got 11 touchdowns and 11 turnovers. If this stays this way, first of all, set a record. I think it set some kind of record in the NFL probably. But it's
I'm with everyone, by the way, that everybody needs to go. But I just, like, at this moment in time, like, if they announce today that Mike is fired, what does that accomplish besides making people happy?
I think people would like to see if somebody else is in there, or just if the whole thing would change a little bit. That people really think.
I don't believe that, do you?
No, yes. So there's a belief that Mike's letting people just run all over him, man. Uh-huh. And that's never going to leave because of that late thing that he did last year. That's not me.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to just
change. By the way, that's not me, Dolphins. It was pathetic. Just absolutely pathetic. What happened yesterday up there?
But I would start trading players away. That'd be number one. At least start looking towards the future, because this is done.
Trade deadline.
A lot of John Gruden, by the way, this morning.
No.
So here's the
oh God, do me a favor.
Well, no. Let me just tell you, creative. The allure of John Gruden is that he's a football guy, right? Like, Mike is not.
So can we?
You
start,
know what I mean? Like, he's the old school football guy.
Can we start with this? He sued the NFL.
I know.
No. So let's just. But can we live in reality a little bit?
Well, the reality is they could hire him if they wanted to. I mean, that.
Okay.
That is the reality, but
all right.
But you,
all
but
right,
they're
outside
under, but,
the box.
But
okay.
just it's not that outside the box, but people want that.
John Gruden got no shot at getting this.
Fine,
job.
But you understand why people want him. He's the opposite of Mike.
Did you see how it ended in the Raiders for him? He was terrible.
I know, but I'm just telling you, he's the opposite of Mike. You know that. You've been around John.
The opposite of Mike is what we had before.
Which one?
You know who.
Gase, Philbin, Brian.
Brian Flores.
They've all been different. They've hired every different type of coach you could possibly hire. Old, young, mean, not mean.
Friendly.
Nice. They've hired every personality possible. I mean.
Like, I would love to sit in a meeting with Mike, who's trying to keep his job. And trying to keep the players. He knows he needs the players to stay motivated and not check out on him. So he can't all of a sudden, and by the way, you can't all of a sudden.
Well, that ship has sailed.
You can't all of a sudden change the way you do things. Like, you can't come in one day and try to be a hard ass. People are going to read right through it like, oh.
You don't think that whole team's checked out?
I think some guys have checked out. Yes. I think some guys, they may. Now, I'm not saying they're not out there and they're going to practice every day. But some guys, listen, if you haven't had success all season, and Mike's right about one thing, though, just so the players don't get a complete hall pass, you do need to look in the mirror and see how you're doing. It's still one-on-ones, and I know nobody wants to. I know it's a QB head coach and GM thing, and I'm with you on all that. But we also have to have some other dudes on this team. How are you playing? Like, everybody knows how they're playing. I knew. Man, if I was playing 20 plays a game, 18 plays a game, 26 plays a game, I knew everyone. I knew exactly how I – well, we got graded out every week. I don't know if they still do that. We got a grade. Nobody wanted a bad grade. Never want to get that bad grade.
Texter asked, could I ask you why Chris Greer was at the Oklahoma-South Carolina game scouting quarterbacks?
Because that's what they're going to have them do. As long
well, they
as
should
here.
Save their money.
Well, they got to go mean, out.
That's
go
just
out.
That just seems
somebody.
Like a waste of jet fuel.
But you got to have somebody going out to.
No, you don't. Not Chris.
We can have his assistants.
I just not Chris. He doesn't have apparently doesn't have an eye for quarterbacks.
By the way, how's everybody feel about the Justin Herbert Tua thing? I was going to wait on that, but why? You want to talk about a guy that's running for his life right now with that offensive line. I don't know what they lost, by 14 yesterday.
Anyone could have had Daniel Jones.
All right. I didn't hear you saying that about Daniel Jones when he's with the Giants there.
It's not my job to scout quarterbacks,
I know,
bro.
I know. But
it's Chris Greer's job, apparently.
All right.
I guess they sent them out.
All right. Hey, you are. I'll tell you what, though. You're good. You play long. You're good on this. Daniel Jones now. Now we would have thought Daniel Jones is that. The Colts did. That's why they're good.
It's good vision. We'll go around the league when we come back.
There weren't a lot of people who thought Daniel Jones had it, man. If everybody's to be honest about Daniel Jones, nobody was giving Daniel Jones. They thought he was Giants Daniel Jones for life. Mm-hmm. And they were wrong.
He's one of the rehab jobs, though.
He is.
Apparently, Tua's going to go somewhere else and be great. You see that happening?
No.
Okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Doing the same crap. You're going to keep getting the same results. And they may be finding different ways to do it, right? But it's still the same result. And there was only one game where I really felt good about the Dolphins trying to adjust and do other things. And that's the game where they just basically rolled Tua out the whole game. Then they went back to sitting him in the pocket. They couldn't, besides A-Chan, if they didn't have A-Chan,
if he doesn't have A-Chan, Tua has 0 yards. Right. Like all his only play is A-Chan save me.
Right. So I'm like,
it's really depressing. It's a very depressing watch. It only gets more depressing every single week because you not only have a week where you're just surrounded by controversy
right.
to go along with the losing, but then you followed up with that performance.
I think the worst important part is the losing. Like, it just looks so bad.
Yeah, the style points on losing, though.
Right.
They're losing in a blaze of glory, dude. These are not 9-6s.
Pretty much. And so I would say, man. Like, again, everybody wants somebody fired.
Yep. I want everyone fired.
It doesn't matter.
Clean house.
Like, now?
Yeah. Actually, you know what, Leroy? Now would be nice.
Why?
Now would be nice. You want to know why? Because it'd make me feel good. It would make me feel good to know that owner would walk down for one time and not give a rat's ass about some chic sporting event coming down here. Look at my building. No, why don't you, for once, take the tapioca out of your mouth, old man, and make a move to give a rat's ass about your football fans because they're pissed off and these guys have completely obliterated your franchise. The GM, he picks nobody but injured people, and then the healthy ones that he pick suck. And this coach. Leroy. Sitting there looking at that play sheet like he's got an answer with his two hoodies on. How come every time there's elements, this man dresses like he's going on great voyage. And then the one game that he didn't put enough hoodies on was the coldest game ever. I'm going to show him how tough I am. Yeah, actually, I would like somebody fired. For me. For me. I don't care who coaches the rest of the way. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who. Anybody could do a better job than this. 6 points. And by the way, it's a fake 6 points because you had a roughing the long snapper. Who gets a roughing the call on the long snapper?
The Dolphins just got it a couple of weeks ago.
Dude, on the snapper?
Yeah.
I never seen that in my life.
Here's the rule. You can't hit the snapper. So that's why they get over to on the side of him, because his head is looking back and it puts him in a vulnerable spot. So they came up with the rule, you can't just bull rush the long snapper.
Ridiculous.
Look.
6 points. 6 points.
That's what I just hit two a day. She just said it. Mm. The Dolphins got called for it last week.
Dude, 6 points?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? To the Browns?
I mean, the Browns got a good defense.
Dude, they haven't taken the football away at all this year. They were one of the lowest turnover teams in all of football. In fact, they had the second to worst turnover margin in all of football. Until Tua showed up and was like, let's even up them numbers, boys. Who wants it? Who wants it? You? Yeah, pick. Who's that down there? Tanner Connor? He's a burner. I'll get him the football down there. Nah, pick. Oh, hey, Devon Achan, you're 5'8". Let me throw it up here so you get some in the ribs. Dude, was Tua a boxing trainer? How many hospital balls did he throw to his receivers yesterday? G-goo! They're like, why didn't Devon Achan catch that ball? I don't know. His hands are probably tired from carrying Tua's ass all season. Why didn't he catch the football? Are you kidding me? What a disgraceful performance by that football team yesterday. And the defense, my Leroy, are you kidding me with all these penalties?
Forget the penalties. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Shooting themselves in the foot, roughing. Hey, Zach Sealer, do me a favor, dude. Respectfully, okay? You know I love you. When you signed that extension, was it to play football or Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Don't tell, dude. You're sitting here battering people in the head like a polar bear out there. What the hell's going on with him? Roughing calls every week, knocking somebody upside the head. Are you kidding me with this guy? What are we doing? I am like, do you know how bad a game has to be that we have to get the Browns reflective package from Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta?
Well, Adam, this has been our 16th Browns game together.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done to my Sundays, Dolphins. Thank you. Appreciate this. It's riveting. And Ian Rappaport says this morning, no changes likely coming. Yeah, of course not. Why? Stephen Ross has got some bocce ball court he's got to go build.
You think that's why he's not doing anything now?
Oh, he doesn't care, dude. All he cares about is redoing City Place and buying nice grass. Let's be real about it.
And he doesn't care because he won't fire a coach after seven games.
Dude.
I'm just asking. Dude. Like, they're like,
are you kidding me
Wait. Let me ask you a question. So if Stephen Ross came in tomorrow and said, I've decided to fire everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Your first thought would be, oh, he cares?
Yes. Yes. Actually, yes.
All right.
Yes. But you know what? Garfinkel's going to throw a pacifier and be like, don't worry, Stevie. We got the pickleball championship coming from Dubai. Like, what? We got F1, tennis championships, soccer games. Congratulations, dude. The college football playoffs down here. Riveting. Where's your ring for that, dude?
Don't forget a La Liga game.
La Liga is coming, Leroy. I forgot about that. Who could forget? What a great job they've done down here. He's having a great time. He's redoing City Place. We're going to have a new Cheesecake Factory up there. It's going to be awesome. Meanwhile, his coach sits here stuttering and muttering his way to 6 points. guru.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, actually, firing would make me feel really good right now. Really good. But you want to know what's going to make me even feel worse? When he fires just one of them. That's going to make me feel real great.
Yeah.
Because I got a GM, he traded up, and he somehow got somebody worse than Liam Eichenberg.
Wait.
I still don't miss him.
I was curious.
I still don't miss him.
Side note.
I still don't miss him.
Side note.
Which, by the way, on the worst play that he had all game, Quinn Ewers still threw the deepest pass of the day. Because Tua had no interest in that. Because he's just like, where's A-Chan? Where's A-Chan? Where's A-Chan? Where he is? There he is. A-Chan takes it 23 yards. Great. Where's A-Chan? The only threw the ball. Dude, did he throw the ball downfield like that one time to Tanner Connor when nobody was there? Because they were like, is he a mascot? Who is that guy?
In all honesty, I was so aggravated after halftime, I went and cooked.
Oh, man. Well, you missed a doozy. So
no, I could hear it. I just
so you're
watching.
Sitting here, you're,
No, I was chopping vegetables.
And that's a pick six by Tungavailoa.
I had some chicken going, shrimp. You know, made a little pasta, little Cajun pasta.
What an embarrassment.
They go, you're not watching the game? I said, that's not football.
was it even worthy of your time? That's not football.
I'm curious as to this. The only decisions that Stephen Ross makes are the people that he hires, right? Whether you trust them or not, we can go, that's a whole nother different. But when you say Stephen Ross hasn't made a move, like he trusts his people to do that, even if they're the wrong people.
That's a terrible thing to do.
Right. But I'm saying we're sitting here saying Stephen Ross is, what has he done for this franchise?
What has he done for the franchise?
What,
they've been in their worst. They've literally had their worst run as a franchise with him as the owner.
You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. What owners, usually the owners that make personnel decisions, we say are the worst. So what, besides hiring and firing, which we don't even know if he does that, right? He's probably in on it, but he relies on other people to make those decisions. What decisions is Stephen Ross doing besides that?
Nothing. He's doing
but
nothing.
But that's what most owners do.
No.
No, who makes
Tennessee just fired their
No,
their
I understand that. But I'm saying, okay, what decisions do owners make other than firing and hiring people? That's all they do.
Yeah.
So when you talk about Stephen Ross has done nothing for
this. He's not doing anything. He's just sitting up. He's having his protein shake this morning, baby. He's probably on his Peloton. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's playing Sudoku. I don't know what he's doing. You know what he's not doing? Giving a rat's ass about his franchise, apparently.
I don't think he doesn't care. Because he doesn't.
How long's Chris Kirby in charge?
Yeah.
How long?
Listen.
How long?
I can't. Oh, my God. All right. I'm done. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, how long?
Defending the owner. Most owners don't make the decisions that you're seeing on the football field. Now, you can blame the owner for trusting those people.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
That's what I'm
then
doing.
Then that's it.
What I'm doing.
But to go in and then make this drastic decision now is not helping.
It doesn't hurt. What's the harm?
Okay.
Do tell. Right. I would love to know. Right. What's the counterpoint to it?
Go ahead and Leroy tell us a positive football move Ross has been a part of. He doesn't make any of those decisions.
I just don't understand what you're like. You would agree these are fireable. This has been a fireable performance.
Absolutely.
Why can't he do it today?
Why
can't he make my Monday a little bit brighter?
I don't know. I mean, because that's not. I don't know
because he thinks they're nice guys.
So I don't see firing a guy after 7 games with 10 games left. I don't know.
Dude, they just
so you just say forget this season?
The season's done.
No, I understand that, but you understand.
It's never been more over. It's never been more over. Like I've heard this argument from you, and I understand it when you talk about hey, they won 8 games last year. Hold on, hear me out.
Okay.
When you make that argument, right, and they win 8 games last year, Tua missed 6 games, kind of can hear you out.
Mm-hmm.
When you are literally only better than the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
what's the argument anymore?
Okay, I'm just saying, after 7 weeks, we're, I mean,
what more needs
we
to be
know
said?
It's coming.
What more needs to be seen?
Okay.
What needs to be said?
Okay, all right.
I just don't.
I'm not saying, wait, hold on. I'm not saying that it's not over. Why? Listen, I'll tell you how I feel. You don't tell me how I feel. All right? Like, I don't understand why you think I'm not defending anybody. That is what it is. Right? Owners don't. Usually the owners that meddle in the decisions of the players and stuff like that, we call stupid. Or we say, stop meddling. Steven Ross doesn't do that. Now,
yeah, but there comes a time, right?
Very, very, I just think he trusts in people. Is it the wrong people? Absolutely. At this point, and again, my whole thing has been, if I'm an owner of a franchise and I see my guy throwing money out and giving money and doing all these things for players who never play, okay, me and you got to have a conversation. Me and you got to have a big-time conversation. Because I'm paying a lot of money, and they're all sitting next to you on game day. So, yeah, at some point, I don't know where he is in these conversations, but, yeah, at some point when you see that half of the guys you're paying aren't playing or aren't good, that falls on the guy you trust the most.
Take a break.
Guess we have to do this. So let's do this. Dolphins, oy vey. Hurricanes, oy vey. And the Florida Panthers, oy vey. Solana's putting on a paper bag.
Paper bag time.
I mean, his Heat haven't won a preseason game either. I mean, this guy's got myriad reasons to be wearing a paper bag on his head.
Focus on what's important, Hawk. Focus on what's important. Oh. The Heat haven't played a regular season game yet.
One team deserves paper bag for sure.
Oh, my God.
Damn, Miami Gardens.
I mean, you know, Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald, he tweeted out, when I've asked a Stephen Ross associate why no changes, he cited the owner wanting to give McDaniel and Greer a fair amount of time to turn this around. And Barry Jackson tweets, yesterday and previous weeks did not qualify, in his view, as reasons to change from that approach. Who knows what will? And I'm of that. Listen, I am a believer in patience. I'm a believer in stability. I'm a believer in giving context to losses and seasons. I did it for the entirety of last season. I said there's a problem with the backup quarterback, which, by the way, I want to get into as well, because they identified Zach Wilson. Out of all the quarterbacks who were available, they identified Zach Wilson. And then by game seven, they identified Quinn Ewers as being better than the guy they identified as the hope for the backup. But regardless, I'll get to that later.
I have an opinion on that one, too.
At some point, patience and stability and just standing by your man, at some point, it's stupid. Like, at some point, it's just not warranted. Again, I think it's laudable. I really do. I think it's laudable to say, hey, you're the guy I hired, and I believed in you before the season started. I'm not going to not believe in you less than half the season in. But at some point, it's just stupid. It doesn't serve a purpose. And I can't figure out what purpose it serves to have Mike McDaniel as the head coach of this team anymore. Or, and this one hurts me, I don't know what purpose it serves to have Tua as your starting quarterback next week at least. Give him a breather. I'm not saying he loses the starting quarterback job. I'm saying he's been so bad that maybe you just need a break for a week to where, hey, get your head together. You play with the backups and let's just try to make something happen where there's nothing happening. I don't know, but the fact that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are still employed is shocking to me because, again, I'm a big believer in patience and stability. But at some point, you have to say, if you're the owner of the operation, what transpired yesterday was so unacceptable that someone's head has to roll. And it's not.
Tua first, last week shook Tua. The criticism, the national negativity on Tua, he can say whatever he wants about not listening. And people told us, if you tell him, you know, there was a world earthquake, he wouldn't know because he doesn't watch. That's a lie. He was shook. He was trying too hard. He was trying to prove something. The McDaniel, Chris Greer thing, like, the football gods has now shown Stephen Ross an ass-kicking week one, then a close game, and then a loss late, and now another ass-kicking. The football guys are trying to give him everything he needs to say, this isn't what it is. I don't know the reason behind it. I'm not the call. None four of us are the fire everybody guys.
No.
But you just have to see this and say, this is embarrassing. That's embarrassing football. And let me tell you, I watched the game because I couldn't watch it live. I was doing that F1 crap. I watched the game knowing that it's a blowout, so I'm watching it very skeptical of anything that happened positive. The O-line can't block physically, and they can't identify where the guys are coming from. So they don't know who to block. And then if they do know who to block, they can't block them with ability.
I mean, there's a play that went viral on social media of Savai Naya getting rolled in a way where he looks like it was me trying to protect the quarterback.
On the third interception, I believe, the one in the end zone when he threw it out, there was a guy running scot-free at him. Nobody even looked at the fella that went and hit two in his chest. No one knew he was around. I don't know who to block. And when there is a dedication, I get run over like I'm a three-year-old. The receivers, I don't want to say they gave up on Tua. They just looked like they were running in slow motion. And you're like, oh, it's wet. The Browns people didn't like they were running that slow. Jalen Waddle's a very fast human being. Defensively, they ran the same exact play that the Carolina Panthers run. When Judkin broke that long run, same exact play. Zone cutback. You're supposed to self-scout and self-correct. They're not self-correcting because they don't have the guns to self-correct.
I put in a bet already. Bijan Robinson, over 400 yards rushing for next Sunday. If over. Judkins and Rico Dowdle, literally there's not a running back who's not frothing at the mouth to get a crack at this defense.
They don't have the guns, so that's why the Chris Greers jump in. They don't have the weaponry in that entire building to stop the run. They can't do it. They bring the safeties down, and they're trying to get the safety one-on-one with the running back. That's what happened when the touchdown. The 25, I don't know. Can he see? Who's 25? He had me so hot. My goodness. Like, they're not as talented. They're not as talented as the Cleveland Browns.
Which is shocking because on paper, I feel like they are, but they're obviously not. I mean, listen, for me, it kind of starts and ends with Tua at this point. He is a shell of himself. And if you can, in that game, playing from behind, still only find Jalen Waddle one time for 15 yards, then something's wrong.
Jerry Judy's better than Jalen Waddle. Watching the game, you're looking at him. We have Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb. No, Myles Garrett is what we need. We need a Myles Garrett. That's what we need. If you just look at that game, there are that much talent, that much more talented than us. And so 28 is going to get the ball 416 times. I could figure out a defense to stop that. It's getting embarrassing. The football gods have showed Ross everything they can show him. I don't see the like I said, are they going to find the next best head coach on October 21st if they fire him tonight? No. But for the reason for him to be in that building, I would say just doing the talk and losing all confidence in his team, with the team losing confidence in him, I think it is a disservice to the organization. to just keep these guys around to be nice.
Well, what I would say is this. And first of all, Sports Talk on WQAM is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. What I would say is Mike McDaniel preached after the Chargers game, and then after the Tua post-game debacle, put it out of your mind. It's all forgotten after the Cleveland game. But then the Cleveland game comes, and it's way worse, and it's more embarrassing than anything they've done this season. Mm-hmm. So to that point, Crowder and Solana, how can Mike McDaniel continue to lead the team? If your leader continues to preach something, and instead of it happening like he says it's going to happen, the opposite happens, then if you're a player, why on earth wouldn't you just tune him out? And so when you say it's a disservice to the organization, I agree. If my leader says to me after the Chargers game and after what Tua says after the game, hey, put it out of your mind. We're focusing on Cleveland. And after we get to Cleveland, no one's going to think about what happened at the end of that Chargers game. And no one's going to think about what happened in the postgame press conference. And no one's going to be worried about what happened because we're a week-by-week organization. Put it out of your mind. And I go, okay, boss, I'm with you. I put it out of my mind. And then Sunday rolls around, and then Monday rolls around, and every bleeping talk show nationally is talking about me again in an embarrassing fashion. Why am I going to listen to what that guy has to say ever again? Because he's shown me the words are hollow.
100%. And that's what happened. I was a part of it. What's going on now with Mike McDaniel is what went on with Cam Cameron. This is Cam Cameron. He had a longer tenure, and he had 2023. We're still living off 2023. He had 2023. But there's no way we're listening. Do you think he turns into Martin Luther King right, in his right. press conferences with right. the team?
Right.
When they're sitting in that team meeting room this morning, I hope they couldn't call it a victory Monday. Just take tomorrow off, embarrassment Monday. They had to have had a team meeting today. He's up there saying, guys, that didn't really go, with 11-on-11 football, we can't really make mistake. Okay, coach, do you have anything right. to say encouraging? Do you have anything to say how we're
going
to write this?
And even if he didn't have all the ums in there, again, he's going to preach the same thing, which is, well, we've got to focus on Atlanta. But you tried that on me after Indianapolis, and yes. you tried that on me after the Chargers, and you tried, like, enough. I can't listen to what you have to say anymore.
New voice.
New voice. It's not going to change fortunes.
No.
But a new voice.
And a reinvigoration. Because I hate to question effort. Because now you're saying guys are giving up. And I really don't think guys give up. But they didn't seem tenacious. Even making plays. When guys did make a play, it was like, oh, yay. Oh, yeah, tackle, backfield, go, go, go. Good job. It wasn't what I'm used to seeing. I was going to say good teams. It wasn't what I'm used to in football. I'll say that.
I got I'm looking at the text machine. So now what? Freaking fool, Hockman. The fans always knew Tua sucked. Flores did. They knew this team sucked before the season started. But you? Clueless. Yeah, okay, but I don't make decisions involving the team. Like, the guys who made the decisions involving the team, they didn't consult with me. And listen, Vegas had them at 8.5 wins, which means Vegas thought it was a 50% chance they'd have 9 wins, 50% chance they'd have 8 wins. You had a brain trust of football people giving Tua $250 million. You had guys like Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel, who's more negative than I am regarding the Dolphins, had them as an 8 or a 9 win team. So when you say, and now what? Yeah, It wasn't my job to hire Tua in the first place. It's not going to be my job to bench him. It's not my job to retain Chris Greer. It's not my job to fire Chris Greer. It's not my job. So, yeah, freaking fool texter. Now what? I don't know. I'm reacting the way you are.
I think the only logical way to get out of any of this and to turn this season around, more player-only meetings, guys. Who's with me? Player-only meeting. One more. Give me one more player-only meeting.
Is he super loud, Jimmy? He sounds much louder than the rest of us.
Not that much louder.
He seems super loud to me. Like, he blew my eardrums out. Let's do...
To the Texas point, I thought you were going to come on today and say... 11-6, fellas.
Well, I do see some positives if you want to know the truth. Yeah. I love when people get angry. Like, I see this on social media with, like, the Dolphins beat writers. Like, they get angry at the Dolphins beat writers. Like, they're calling the offense. Like, hey, everybody's got an opinion. Listen, there were more opinions. Now, you, texter, you can live in your own social media bubble where everyone agrees with you, the Dolphins were gonna stink and Tua was gonna stink. That was not the prevailing notion. It wasn't around the league, and it wasn't around the fans. People may not have expected a Super Bowl, but no one expected this. Unless you, of course, you texter, you expected this. We know that you had this.
I've been the you guys call me the Tua hater. I've been the biggest Tua detractor. For the past couple years, even in 2023, I wasn't expecting this type of drop-off.
No one was.
We are seeing legitimately some of the worst quarterbacking play in the last 25 years from Tua Tagovailoa, who probably is the best quarterback the Dolphins have had since Dan Marino. At the very least, he had the best season
Tua,
a quarterback has had.
As bad as he has been this season, is the best Dolphins quarterback you have ever watched in your life.
He had the best season the Dolphins have had post-Marino. Hawk, right now, Tua Tagovailoa is playing similar to Cleo Lemon-type football, man.
But he has had the best Dolphins career of any quarterback you've ever watched.
It's not saying much, though.
No, I understand that. I'm just telling you, Tua, in however old you are, 30 years old, you have never had a better quarterback your Dolphins team than Tua Tagovailoa.
But
you haven't.
I could make the case that this is worse than any of those previous quarterbacks.
No, but I'm saying in totality, this season is one of the worst seasons you'll ever see from a starting Dolphins quarterback, especially one who had expectations. But you in your lifetime have never had a quarterback talked about in the MVP race.
You're right.
Other than Tua.
But I'd say this situation is worse than previous situations because we got fooled.
Oh, yeah.
And the Dolphins paid him
$250 million. Yeah, they're on the hook.
And now what do you do? The cap ramifications to get out from under Tua Tagovailoa's contract is a worse situation now knowing what we know, which is this guy, unfortunately, whether it's injury, whether it's concussion, whatever the reason is, this guy's cooked, brother. This guy's cooked.
Hey, he looks mentally cooked. He looks physically cooked. He looks cooked.
And the thing that you could constantly point to, we talked about it, and I know Barry Jackson wrote an article. I had mentioned Kyle Crabbs kind of diving into the numbers last week, gentlemen, where the one thing you could rely on with Tua was accuracy, especially between 10 to 19 yards. And he can't make those throws anymore. He just can't. What do you do?
When you say cooked physically...
Everything, mentally, like physically, he can't make the throws that he was making that made him an elite, accurate passer. Not player, but passer. He can't make those throws right now, and this isn't a two-game sample size. And I realize losing Tyreek Hill is important, but at the end of the day, you have to rely on your quarterback to make the type of throws that make him a good quarterback, and you can't rely on him to do that anymore.
But I've seen him make some good throws. And this is why, like, is Tua cooked or is it McDaniel's fault, this offense? Carolina game, 0 points in the third quarter. You have an entire half to speak with an entire staff about what they're doing defensively against us. You come out in the third quarter, 0 points. Chargers game, let me guess, 0 points. Browns game, they ain't scoring a damn point in the second half, not just the third quarter.
Did you see what his QBR was?
What are you doing at halftime? Because that's when offensive gurus, air quotes,
but Crowder,
that's when they figure it out and have an approach.
Crowder, Tua can't throw the ball past the line of scrimmage. And yesterday, you know what they did at halftime? They came out, they said, hey, as bad as it's been, this is still a winnable football game. Let's turn things around. And guess what Tua did? The first snap of halftime, he threw an awful pass to Devon Achane. Guess where? 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage. He threw it out of his reach, and it got taken back for a pick six.
You know what his QBR was yesterday, Crowder?
Oh, in the teens.
Teens! He would pay you his contract for it to be in the teens. Three!
A three? Good grief.
His QBR was three! All right, let's do headlines. John Michaels is going to join us because I want to talk Hurricanes as well. They crapped the bed as well. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
Well, Mike McDaniel says everything is on the table.
Oh, all right.
Like what?
His playbook? Is it like...
if it's no change in any staff members, what's on the table?
Everything.
But
forfeiting?
I do believe benching Tua is on the table. You have to make a splash move. You have to. You're a laughingstock. And if the splash move is not getting rid of McDaniel or Greer, Tua has to sit next week. I'm not saying for the season. I'm not saying he lost his starting job. I'm saying he lost something the last couple of weeks. He needs a week to get his head straight.
So you bench Tua, and I've seen this, and, you know, so now is Quinn Ewers the starter?
Yeah.
So the two
guys
that
that's a whole nother conversation in and of itself, if it's Quinn Ewers.
So the guys that love Tua and established that Zach Wilson was the best backup after the Tim Boyle situation.
Right.
Now they're rolling on the sideline, and Tua has on a hat and a headphone.
But we called it, didn't we? $6 million to go to Zach Wilson. And you guys could have had the Pastrnak who threw a dime yesterday. $6 million that money could have been allocated to what? Offensive line depth, secondary depth.
Or you could have allocated another $3 or $4 million to that position and gotten Jameis Winston.
But it wouldn't have mattered at this point, huh?
I don't know, man.
It wouldn't have mattered. By the time you have to make this decision, you're sitting at 1-6 anyways.
Yeah, but if you have a quality backup who's been a winner before sitting behind him, maybe it doesn't get to this point. I don't know.
But if you have at the very least the ability to run the football, you can lean on something else to help at least alleviate some of the transgressions from your quarterback. You can lean on it, but they can't. You know why? Because the right side of their offensive line after the third snap of the season was toast. And they have nobody else to fall back on because they didn't allocate the necessary resources to depth on the offensive line, which should have been priority number one this offseason. And once again, they didn't do it.
Somebody texts in, by the way, I bet all the Tua unders. Bingo, money in the bank. Well, then you're losing money on the Tua rushing under because the over has hit every bleeping week, including yesterday. Tua rushing over for life.
When Tua's going through something, a rough patch, we'll call it. He's not cooked. He's a rough patch. He's leaning on Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers. To your point about the backup quarterback, there is no leadership. There is no veteran. Zach Wilson's team wore Mike White shirts pregame while he was the starter.
That's why I say Jameis. Like, give me like a Jameis who you could actually lean on.
And now seeing what Flacco did. With Cincy, like you, the guys that made all these decisions on this roster, the guys that have Rasul Butler and Jack Jones one-on-one with guys on the outside, they're sleeping happily at night. And we're going to bench Tua. Seems crazy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to do a better job of saying that clearly, because it, you know, in game, we have to find our composure. But realistically, you know, you do hard truth in this league. You are always held accountable for your ultimate performance, and you coach through tape. So I have had nor will have no problem, you know, telling the truth of the tape, and you have to either you accept it and rise to the challenge and correct those things, or you're subject to the same exact types of failures that I know that the guys are tired of. You know, they wanted to win. Okay, they did, and they didn't do it. And it's all of us. So I don't think anybody's spared from accountability. I think we all need to look at the mirror, or in the mirror, and the main thing is, teams that go through hardships, you double down on those hardships if you don't stick together. So we have to do better collectively, and I'm looking for guys to lean into the team and not try to displace, not try to feel like, okay, I did all right. It wasn't my fault. No, that's not how it works. We all have to stay together, and we all have to be focused if we wanted to improve.
All right, that was Mike McDaniel, 1-6, and one of the most brutal losses I can remember from a Miami Dolphin team, considering who they were playing, who's got every bit as many problems as we have up there. And you would have never known it. By the way, basically did not even need to use their wide receivers in that game. They don't have any real good wide receivers. Got a nice young tight end, rookie tight end. Got a couple of nice rookie running backs, including one that went 46 yards for a touchdown. But they only had 200 yards of offense, man. 200 yards of offense. But if you turn the ball over four times, team had 11 penalties, a lot of them on defense, kept drives going. 1 for 13 on third down. 1 for 13 on third down. It is you're going to earn your money. Now, you're going to have some guys still stand up and say all the right things, and we got to hang together. We can still turn this around. Good luck trying to turn that thing around after the way you played against one of the worst teams in football. In that bottom five, because we're below them, obviously, because they beat us so badly. We couldn't score a touchdown against the Browns. I know their defense good. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But, man, we were extra bad yesterday on offense. There was no threat. That pick six to start that third quarter, that game was over. Campbell took that to the house, and that was like, okay, ball game. Ball game. They'd run it, don't matter where they were. They just pooch punt it down to the other end and go, ha ha, Dolphin offense can't go anywhere. By that point, Darren Waller was out of the game, injured. And I don't know what the, somebody, you got to explain to me though. And again, I'm not, I don't figure out ways to get number one receivers the ball. One catch on behalf of Jaylen Waddle. He's my son. I'm pissed off. What are we doing? Hell, maybe the trade rumors, maybe there's some to him. Maybe we're saving him. And then we take him out of the game and we put him back in after he was standing off the side with Achan. And Tua had just gone out. And I get it. You're like, ain't winning the game. Last thing I want to do is get those guys hurt down by four scores or three scores at the end of the game. And they put Waddle back in and he runs an out route. Harmless, right? Guy's playing off. Runs an out route. Hewer throws it behind him and he just gets tagged. Now he got back up, you know, after a few minutes on the ground there. But yeah, man, we just do head scratching stuff right now. That is head scratching stuff, man. Head scratching. I'm just wondering what, like, the changes. Mike said, we're going to look at it. We're going to be honest. We're going to look at everything. We're going to be honest with each other. And if we have to make some changes off the film, I want them to see it. What changes are you going to make on this roster?
Seems a little too late for that, huh?
Yeah, what changes can you make? You got 53 guys, and you got guys banged up. You got some guys that, you know, what can you really change this late in the game?
Would you start trading pieces away now?
By the way, that is a really good question. It's tied to the GM and tied to the owner going forward. How much are you going to let your GM do?
That's a good point.
Now, everybody got a little different theory. Let Chris go ahead and do all the work, and he's here, and he's, you know, if you're going to keep him.
And then fire him?
I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know, but he shouldn't get a hall pass either. Just because he had nothing to do with that game, he did, because he's the one to put that roster together. Unless Mike's doing that now too, what? When then, if he is, then why the hell do we need a GM? I mean,
this is as bad a roster as the one win season, right? Like I don't know who else they're going to beat, Joe.
By the way, 1-15 was rough,
and this isn't.
No, but
that you lost by four touchdowns to the Browns.
That 1-15 should have been 0-16. Ravens are down there on the one against one of the worst run defenses in football, and decide to.
The Dolphins will maybe win one more game.
I don't know. Right now.
They'll probably screw around right and now, beat the Jets. But
outside of the Jets, who would they do? Bench Justin Fields?
Were a mess.
But we can't be looking around because we got a mess of our own. And this is not just having a good meeting and a good practice and all of a sudden we feel better about ourselves. It's just not. It's not three captains standing up in front of the team and given like one of the greatest speeches they've ever given.
But that's the thing, man. I'm so like we did this last week and the leadership and captains and all this other crap.
Players only meeting.
Like we just the whole I thing. Think they the burned whole out thing the, needs to reset, man.
I think we're done with the players only meetings. I think they burned that out. I think there's only a certain amount you could do.
It's just very the whole thing is just toxic.
I'm joking.
Like they really do need to blow that entire thing out and change the whole makeup and culture of that franchise.
It is toxic and it needs an overhaul,
a major overhaul, not a reset. Like well, that's what Chris called it, right? A reset. They need a full cleaning, man. A full cleaning. Top to bottom.
I'll tell you, though.
No more talk about leadership and culture and meetings and all this other crap. It's nauseating.
I don't know as the owner of this team who goes to every game, goes down to the locker room after every game. What do you say?
Well, how involved is he, though? Because you know, Barry's calling him, you know, an absentee owner and all this. Like, how involved is he, Joe?
I don't know through the week. I don't know.
Or does
he
just not care? Does he not realize he's getting fed bad information?
Oh, no. What's the
disconnect here?
No. Bo saw him yesterday. Said he was pissed off. Like, he went in there yesterday. But what do you say? He goes in the locker room. He looks at the coach. The coach looks at him. Like, how many times, what are you going to tell me today? We're going to get back to work. We're going to get this thing figured out. And you're going, So now we're going from the Browns, and the schedule doesn't get exactly easier from here. This was supposed to be the W, and not only did we lose, we got embarrassed. We didn't score a touchdown offensively. We barely had 200 yards of offense, and it wasn't even cold. It wasn't even cold out there. It was nice. Hell, it didn't even rain that much in the second half. All right. Whew, man.
Every time they show the highlights of this guy throwing those passes, just makes you want to puke.
Tua? I would love to know that thing down the middle he threw. He was throwing it to Tanner Connor, actually. And first of all, it should have never been thrown. Second of all, honestly, the only guy that should ever try that throw is, I can't say his name. Can't do it. Anyway, they were sitting back there, man.
He got outplayed by the other guy. No one even knew if he could play. Remember, they're trying to figure out who should be the backup over there. And
I don't know, though.
And then what's the deal with the whole...
You think the Browns left yesterday going, that's our quarterback?
I don't know what the Browns are thinking. I had 200
yards
care,
of offense and 31 points.
What's with elevating Ewers over Zach Wilson? What's going on with that whole deal?
He played better in practice, which, by the way, people are going to get on him for that because they're like, well, we saw camp and we thought he was better.
Okay, but wasn't the whole point that, like, you did all this evaluation, you go, you know, because the year before, right, the backup quarterback thing was a disaster. So you signed Zach Wilson, you brought him in to be your backup quarterback, and now what?
Can I tell you?
You can't fix him? That's not a fixable thing?
It doesn't matter who we're putting in there at quarterback right now. It really doesn't. I don't think Tua's going to be the starting quarterback, but I got to be honest, it doesn't matter.
Is he, though?
He's a starting quarterback
at
this week.
Point, you think he's getting... I told you a month ago, but at this point, I would start Ewers the rest of the way, and I'd have Zach Wilson as my backup. I would make, just say Tua's injured, make up an injury, whatever it is you need to do to satisfy the Tua fans.
All right.
But there's just no, what do you gain from playing him at this point?
Well, they're still trying to win games, and they think he'd give them the best chance to win is what they're going to say.
I don't even know if he does.
Come on, Woody.
Joe, the play can't get much worse.
Woody.
He was the worst quarterback going outside of maybe Justin Fields.
Woody, did
he's the worst quarterback in football.
He was terrible yesterday, but did you see the other guy come in?
Yeah, he had a bad pass on his first one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, listen, let's go to break here while you're coming up with who should start a quarterback.
My point is that it can't get a whole heck of a lot worse.
No, 11 touchdowns and 11 turnovers is not exactly.
Keep going back to the Bo quote.
What is the Bo quote? Give it to me before I go to break. Go ahead.
Said it was the worst game he's ever seen from a quarterback in the NFL.
It's about time Bo gets out there. Get him.
Plays? You want Bo to start?
No. I want to hear get Bo all fired up.
Here is the breaking news. Crowder and Solana. I know everybody was kind of paying attention. Mike McDaniel has his Monday press conference that's just happened. David Fiorones in the Sun Sentinel tweets out, Mike McDaniel told reporters in Miami Gardens, Tua Tagovailoa remains the starting quarterback for the team. So that change isn't going to happen. And by the way, if your boss and your owner preach patience and stand by you, who would you be to not preach patience and stand by your man? Tua Tagovailoa. But this is a terrible cycle to be in.
I was gonna say,
but it is what it is.
So nothing. So just get your ass kicked over and over. Everything stays the same. No adjustments, no anything.
Well, that seems to be the plan. I'm not down with it. But that seems to be the plan. No matter how far it sinks, nothing is changing. Because don't tell me that some cursory change on the offensive line or you know what I mean? Like, don't tell me some cursory change is going to be the big change. You know, oh, Ollie Gordon's inactive. That's how, you know, it's like, all right, give me some meat and potatoes. Like, don't throw me a little corn niblet special on the side and tell me that that's the big change to the menu. Here's just a couple other notes from David Fiorones. Mike McDaniel said, we need to fix things and fast. everyone, including myself, especially me. Quinn Ewers had mentioned as the backup quarterback being week to week between him and Zach Wilson. Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel said the same moments ago. This is now a week to week competition between Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers to be the backup. And Mike McDaniel, David Fioronis tweets, said his conversation with Dolphins owner Stephen Ross had to do with the game itself. So if you think they had some sort of grand conversation about coaching and ideas and where the organization is headed, that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like they had a small conversation about the game itself.
It wasn't small. I based on somebody I talked to who was there, Stephen Ross was in that coach's locker room after the game for a lot longer than he normally is. A lot longer. That was a conversation after the game.
But I wonder what that means. Is he normally in there for 5 minutes,
right,
like the cursory visit, and then it's 15 minutes, which however long he was in there, I don't think it was enough time to solve anything.
Maybe he had bad guts. That's why he was calling those plays. He was trying to get it over with.
Or he didn't want to see anyone else. He's like, hey, coach, I'm going to hang out in here for a while because I don't want to see anybody.
With that Quinn Ewers thing, I'm 42. I played football since I was 9, watching it now for, 30-plus years. Solana, you're, 20-plus years of football. Hawk, 72 years you've been
watching.
You're
going to do this again? You're going to do this all day long?
Hawk. But no, I'm messing around.
You're on thin ice, buddy.
When is the last time at any level you're evaluating in week 7 who the backup quarterback
is? That's crazy, right? And I identified that as such a big problem last season, which they knew was a problem last season. And now they're 7 weeks in. And again, this doesn't mean spit, but they're 7 weeks in, like you said, and they don't know who their better backup quarterback is?
If it's Zach, if it's Quinn, we're in a worse situation, even with Tua throwing three interceptions. But it just kind of adds to the narrative of the dysfunction in Miami. Tua with the player-only meetings, McDaniel with the people missing meetings last season. And now just think about, you talk about embarrassing Ross. Think about the other teams. They're sitting there listening to this too. Oh, the Dolphins don't know who's better between Zach and Quinn right now? This is crazy talk, man. This talk about dysfunction. This is crazy talk. There is no way I've ever been on a team where I don't know who's – if Chris Leak got hurt, I knew who was going in. Right. If Cleo Lemon got hurt, I knew who was going in. Oh, Tua's out? Is it Quinn or is it Zach? That's crazy to be on a team with that dysfunction. I got to call it what it is.
I think there's way better examples of dysfunction than this only because – isn't this what you do with a seventh-round pick? You draft him, you take a flyer on him, and you hope that, hey, he comes in and he proves something to you, he impresses you. And Crowder, maybe over the past couple weeks, he's shown you he's matured in practice reps, and he's shown you that he's actually good enough to be, at this very moment, quarterback.
But then you don't do a big thing about how we identified Zach Wilson as the guy who to back up to. Like, this is, to me, smacks of the offensive line conversation. Oh, you guys are more worried about it than we are, and it was terrible. You made a big show of we hand-picked Zach Wilson because they watched what happened when Tim Boyle and Tyler Huntley came in. We hand-picked Zach Wilson. And now you're saying, well, we probably didn't need to do that because Quinn Ewers is just as good, or maybe Zach Wilson is just as bad. Or
With you. I'm not saying that this is a shining light on Mike McDaniel and that this is a silver lining. I'm just telling you, Zach Wilson was coming in as a reclamation project, and maybe they thought, hey, there could be shades of a Baker Mayfield. There could be shades of numerous examples around the NFL. Maybe that's what they thought, and now 6 weeks in, they're looking at a quarterback who, you know what, probably just isn't that good, and why not give the guy that we drafted the opportunity over him, considering the circumstances of you're entering that game 1-5, Crowder. Like, the point of Zach Wilson was, hey, you're battling for a playoff position. Tua's out for a game because his rib gets hurt or he breaks his finger on his throwing hand. You need your quarterback, your backup to come in. Zach Wilson, one game and win you that game. But at this point in the season, Zach Wilson doesn't matter. You don't want him to come in and do anything. You'd rather go to the young guy that you drafted and give him the reps.
But no. If you say that, I'm with you. It was presented as it's week to week for them to figure out who gives them a best chance of scoring a touchdown on a given possession. What the hell were they doing in camp? What the hell were they doing in OTAs? He got drafted in what? When was the draft? May? June? July? In August? You still don't know who gives your team a better chance to score a touchdown or get in field goal range? It sounds crazy. And to be honest, what quarterback? Because somebody last week was Dylan Gabriel. One of those guys have to be the scout team guy. You're watching him run a scout team card? Oh, man, he threw that Browns route real nice. He might be better than Zach Wilson. I see what you're saying with what does it help your team to put Zach Wilson in. I understand your narrative. Let the young guy get some burn. See if he can play at this level. I fully understand you. From the organizational standpoint, how do you not know who you're going to put in if Tua – I don't even want to put injury on him. If Tua tears his foot, his shoe breaks, and he has to miss a snap.
No, just keeps playing the way that he's playing. Then you're going to have to make a move.
Think about that. Blitz. Boom. Tua's down. He's holding his ribs. Hey, who's going in? Zach or Quinn? What are you talking about? You don't know your backup quarterback. I've never heard of this in my life. I didn't even hear him say this dumb stuff today. It sounds crazy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.